And before we hear the lessons, I'd like to invite our children to come up, and that is no insignificant number today. Just come up and we'll kind of gather around the front here. Let's see here. I'm just going to get down like this. Yeah, come on over. Come on over. So, today, in just a few minutes, we're going to hear a story about a man. He had a funny name. It's an old name. Zacchaeus. Can you say that?
Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus. That was the guy's name. And he was a guy that nobody liked. He was a tax collector. And he didn't share with anybody. Do you know anybody like that? Kids in school, people who don't share. Your brother? Okay, good. We try to cultivate honesty here. We try to speak the truth in love to one another. So Zacchaeus was this guy that nobody liked, didn't share. But Jesus was in his hometown, and he wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus said, he did this funny thing. He was a little short guy, and he had to climb a tree to see Jesus, kind of like at a parade.
Yeah.
And Jesus looked up in the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house for dinner tonight." And it made Zacchaeus so happy. You know what he started to do? He started to share. Exactly. When he became a happier person, he expressed that by sharing. And have any of your parents ever talked to you about sharing? Do you ever have to share? All the time, of course. All the time. We're learning a little more about the Cox family that maybe some of the Coxes aren't quite comfortable with. But hey. Anyway, what we learned from Zacchaeus is that when we don't share, even though we think we're getting stuff for ourselves, it doesn't make us very happy. And when we're happy, one of the best ways to express that is to share with the people around us. What do you think? Good? Good idea?
Yeah.
Okay. Go to Sunday school. Go to childcare. And we'll see you back here in a little while. Okay? Today is All Saints Day, and we're not quite, I know there are at least a few of you in here who are sort of liturgical sticklers, and we're just making mistakes all over the place. Wrong lessons, wrong colors, it's just, I don't know. I do want to talk a little bit about All Saints, and probably not too much about the gospel. I mean, I think I've probably said what I need to say about the gospel this morning. All Saints, the lessons, they're kind of patched together from the lessons appointed for this Sunday, but some of the lessons for All Saints Day. Gone is that wonderful old reading that from Ecclesiasticus that began, "Let us now praise famous men." And it speaks of that wonderful sweep of time and how some in our human community are raised up and are acknowledged, and yet the vast majority live in really complete obscurity. And there's always been a kind of theology about that. I've been thinking, even the notion of saints, you know, there are lots of saints. Even the last two popes have recently been designated saints, which feels a little bit like a kind of a more of a political process than a really a recognition of great spiritual realization. And I'm thinking saints are probably like, there's a parallel to be made with the music industry. And you think of how many musicians finally get their records produced. And some of them are good, many are not. And I think that's probably the same with saints. Some are real, genuinely holy people, and, you know, some got in there by who knows what means. And then there's the other side that is also sort of been referenced by Ecclesiasticus, which is of the millions and millions of musicians around the world who sing beautifully and whose songs are never recorded. And one of the things that we hold up, and Ecclesiasticus used to do this, is that there is no song that is sung that goes unheard. God hears everything. There is nothing within this human experience that is lost. God sees and knows, and all things are acknowledged. So though you may feel like you are obscure, and that we in Livingston don't exactly live near the center of world culture. I mean, New York would probably claim that for itself. In God's reality, we're as close to things as anybody else in the world. And we, remember that. So, being a saint, I got up this morning and I found on YouTube Willie Nelson. A song singing, Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. And you probably know why you would not want your children to grow up to be cowboys. But I think you could actually plug in the word, mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be saints. And we'd probably be on pretty strong ground too. Because the reality is, most of us don't really want to be a saint. Because to be a saint strikes us as being sort of weird. I sometimes laugh a little wistfully. I say to myself, you can kind of tell how your life is going by how often you have to revert to like a cosmic perspective to make sense of it. So for instance, when do you usually catch yourself saying, well, you can't take it with you? After you've landed a great job? After you've won the lottery? Probably not. You're saying, you can't take it with you after you've sustained some kind of loss. You're taking refuge in a kind of a cosmic perspective. Lots of things will do that, but we sort of don't like to have to be forced to go there. I would rather not be saying to myself, I can't take it with me. Because I wish I still had what I have just lost. And there are a number of shifts of perspective that go along with being a saint. And it has to do with allowing your perspective on things to change. So that things which formerly were very important actually become less and less important. And again, the frame of reference out of which this sermon comes is odd. So I'm thinking also the great, great, but very eccentric French author, Marcel Proust, who wrote in his court-lined Paris apartment 7 volumes of one novel called Remembrance of Things Past. And in the second volume, there's a conversation between a painter and the narrator. And he said, the painter was talking about the kind of servitude that his genius required of him. And he says, we begin every great thing by fearing it because we cannot understand at the outset how we can reconcile the many small pleasures to which we cling and the demands of the great work. And how can we reconcile those two? And the painter went on to say, well, actually, what I've discovered is that I'm not deprived of these small pleasures, I'm detached from them. I actually see them for what they are, and they're not so important as I become more and more absorbed in the work of my art. And I wonder how many of us would discover something like that if we allowed ourselves to listen more deeply to the call of sainthood. And the call of sainthood, I mean, I say we're afraid of it because it makes us weird and we like to talk about St. Francis, but we conveniently forget that sort of in the early stages of his spiritual transformation, his becoming a saint, his family and his friends and all the people of Assisi were convinced that he was totally insane, that he had lost it absolutely, and he was walking around as a beggar, literally rebuilding a church stone by stone. And I assure you, Francis was no stonemason, so it was a kind of a tragic, comic spectacle of Francis, and yet something was working in his soul. And yet, I say to you, any of you mothers out there who would imagine your 22-year-old son walking the streets of Livingston as a beggar and returning and starting to build a church, mamas don't let you babies grow up to be, you know, I mean, I think the weirdness of being a saint is overrated. I think there are other traditions that say, you know, when you really, really get what's going on here, it is just ordinary, just your ordinary mind. And yet, it's very hard for us to get out of step with our cultural world, to live more or less continuously by the wisdom that expresses itself by saying, you can't take it with you. That means you're kind of out of step. Or the people that we know who have been, say, overtaken by serious illness and who are wrestling with deep issues of health and of mortality, that puts you out of step with everyday culture, whose minds are on different things and who are worried about different things. Lots of other things seem important. But for someone whose life may end in 4 months, perspective changes. And it's so, I mean, have you said, or have you heard people say, wow, what would you do if you found out you were going to die? People don't laugh when I say that. It's funny. How can we say, what would you do if you found out you were going to die? Of course, that's the very knowledge that we run away from all the time. Which is only to say, in a very roundabout way, whatever we're doing here is best apprehended by letting our perspectives on things change. Most of the things that we worry about are not important at all. They're meaningless. Most of the things that we look forward to are not very important. But what they do is they get in the way of the simple wonder of waking up in the morning and saying, thank you that I have been given this amazing gift of being, that I'm alive on this little planet in a very strange universe. And what is appropriate to that? How can I best express this reality through what I do and what I think about, how I spend my time, how I spend my money? How can I honor this great, great mystery? The contrary pole is that I want to be in step with the people around me. I want to be able to talk about who won the football game, and whether my stocks go up or down, and, you know, healthcare. And it's all relatively important. Just do not let it block your vision that we walk through a miracle every day. And the saint is just somebody who's aware of that and who lives with appropriateness in relation to that. I want to be a saint. I don't want to be a saint. I want to have a normal life. I hate normal life. And I suspect that many of us are sort of caught in that same tension. So let's help each other out. We don't want to be weird. We don't want our children going out and being beggars. Although, any of those whose children are musicians are probably heading in that direction anyway. But we do not want to miss the great and beautiful mystery that this life is. And being a saint is really, in the end, it may make you crazy for a while, but in the end, the saints, the real saints, are the only sane people among us. The only people who have really found the space in their heart to behold this great mystery and say every day and in every moment, thank you. I do want to be a saint. I don't want to be a saint. I do.